This is the Shotgun City Sheriff, the law himself, Clayton Clark.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Kennedy Kennedy, a.k.a. Mr. Anderson Anderson.
This is the Young Titan, Aaron Atlas.
Hey, this is Matt Brannigan.
This is the Warbound Hellhound, Bo Sword.
This is your favorite drunken pro wrestler, a.k.a. the Bud Light Brawler, Dalton Davis.
This is Lizzie Six.
This is Jake Something.
And this is the jaw-jacking, back-cracking, God created all men equal, and then he made me the sequel, Rohit Raju, and you are listening to the Spot Show Podcast.
Spot Show Podcast.
The Spot Show Podcast.
Spot Show Podcast. Podcast.
The Spot Show Podcast.
Spot Show Podcast. Hell yeah.
The Spot Show Podcast.
The Spot Show Podcast. Yeah, that's right, I stuttered. Shut up.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Spot Show Podcast, an independent wrestling podcast with a few pit stops along the way. I am 33-year-old Dickie Wabash.
Oh, shit. Somebody had a birthday.
Just celebrated my birthday on Monday, brother, and I gotta tell you, it feels good.
How does it feel being closer to the nursing home, man?
You know, here's the thing. You always hear that the older you get, like the less important birthdays, you know, feel. Let me just throw this out there. Not for me. I'm a birthday guy. Have always been a birthday guy. But it's definitely one of those things of where I feel like that they tell you that it's like, oh, 30, it's all downhill from there. It's all downhill from there. Brother, they could not be more wrong.
Been on an upstart since I turned 30 myself.
That's what I'm saying. 30s are the best years of my life so far. I mean, granted, there have been a lot of things that have made me very sad in my 30s. I've been very depressed. But overall, like, I definitely feel like I'm thriving more in my 30s. Because, like, your 20s, you're still really trying to figure a lot out.
You're still wet behind the ears.
Very wet behind the ears. You're greener than the proverbial goose shit, as they like to say. You don't really know what's going on. You don't have a full grasp on life. Don't get me wrong. Still don't have a full grasp on life at this point. But no, like I was telling someone this. It's like, I feel like that my 30s birthdays, I've been fucked over because my 30th birthday, which is supposed to be the big one, the big 3-0, you're supposed to celebrate, balls to the wall. Hey, it's your 30th birthday. Your 20s are in the rear view. You ever heard of this little thing called COVID?
Yes.
Yeah, that happened on my 30th birthday. So I didn't get a 30th birthday. 31st birthday.
Your family didn't drive by in a bus and mask and wave to you from the yard.
Well, that's the thing, is that my birthday is in, of course, May 13th. So things were starting to lighten up a little bit. Like, you could still, like, kind of do. No, hang on. I'm getting shit crossed up. My 30th birthday, I was still Twitch streaming. So I just streamed all day on Twitch. That's all I did for my 30th birthday. And hindsight being what it is, yeah, not fun. Then my 31st birthday, I was like, yeah, I could finally maybe get something happen. No, people were still kind of iffy because of COVID time. It was just like, damn it. Okay, well, I guess that's how that this is all going to play out. My 32nd birthday, I don't really remember. Yes, I do.
I was going to say, somebody got you an awesome fucking birthday present.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they absolutely did. No, it was good. But now, you know, we're here on my 33rd, you know, feeling good. I'm feeling fine. I'm ready to roll.
We had a little celebration over the weekend.
I just realized I mathed completely wrong, by the way.
You mathed?
It was my 29th birthday was during COVID. My 30th birthday, things were starting to open up a little bit more, but it still wasn't great. My 32nd birthday was, that's how that all worked out. It all makes sense in my head. Point is, I'm 33. Here we go. Let's do this. No, my 33rd birthday was actually kind of boring, but I wanted it to be a little bit boring because, you know, the Mad Bash boys decided let's have a little bit of a party at Dickie's house after the hybrid championship wrestling show, which we'll talk about that a little bit. The show, not the party. So I got to do that, but then my actual birthday proper comes around and I'm just like, look,
I just need to recover.
I got a steak. I'm going to throw her on the grill. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to play some video games. I'm going to relax. I'm going to watch finished Tokyo Vice, which I want to talk about how good of a show Tokyo Vice is at some point. Don't get me started on how good of a show that is. But yeah, it was just a chill fucking birthday, man.
I just got to say, there's one thing about your birthday that upsetted me.
Upsetted?
Upsetted.
Okay, you didn't do that on purpose.
I really did.
Truly said upsetted, but you meant to say upset.
No, it upsetted.
Okay, what is it?
Stone Cold Steve Austin did not get crucified on the Undertaker's emblem for you to drink a non-alcoholic White Claw.
I did drink non-alcoholic White Claws.
Our Lord and Savior did not go through that for you.
That voice you're hearing over there, that is, of course, the one-legged wonder, Mr. Michael Madrox. He is my co-host in everything that I do. And he's the good brother over there. You know, you did give me a good birthday gift for last year's birthday. Don't remember what it was, but I think it was pretty solid.
The Mummy film cell, brother.
Oh, yeah, you did.
From
that
the
was
original
the
film reel.
That was what you got me that year. I was thinking that it was the Ric Flair autograph, but that was before.
No, that was just heartbreak brothering.
That was a heartbreak brothering. It was a big time. There's been a lot of heartbreak in my 30s. You know what? Backpedal on the last like 5 minutes. My 30s have been really fucking terrible. No, they haven't. They've actually been pretty solid. But no, like that was the thing. It's just like because my mom calls me and she's like, do you want to do something for your birthday? And I'm like, no. Just want to cook my steak. Sit on the couch and eat my steak. I was in bed by 9.
How'd you cook it though? Cast iron on the stove?
No, I did
take it out on the grill?
Did it on the big green egg.
Ooh, smoked it.
Dinner on the big green egg. Got it about 500 degrees. Threw that thing on there. Had it cooking for, probably 5 minutes on each side. Perfect.
Perfect, baby.
The cut of meat was not the best, but I prepared it in such a way that it didn't really matter what kind of cut of meat it was. It was a little bit on the cheaper side, but you know what? Sometimes you got to eat a cheap steak. It's all about how you cook it. It's not always just, you know, the cut of meat. It's about how you prepare it, how you season it.
I think anything in a smoker makes it 100 times better.
Well, technically, that's not a smoker. It's a grill. It's just a, but I mean, you can put wood chips and stuff in it. That's a pretty big misconception with that. It's more of a grill than anything. But yeah. Hey, enough about my birthday. Before we get too far into this podcast, I just want to let everybody know that this episode of the Spot Show Podcast is brought to you by Elite Pro Wrestling and YooHoo. You're going to hear a little bit more about them later. So, of course, unless you head on over to patreon.com/madbashstudios, you back us at that $5 and above tier. You're going to get this show completely ad-free and at least 24 hours early. Chances are we're recording this on the 14th. That's Tuesday. I will have this up within 4 hours of us recording because that's just what we do over here. We make shit look pretty fucking smooth over here. Also, with the Patreon, this is a learning process. And like, I have Googled and I've never really gotten a straight answer. And I figured some things out. And now it makes sense to me completely. For all of you paid members, I want to apologize.
What'd you do?
Because the free membership, which we're going to get into here in a second, we say that you're still going to get the behind-the-scenes photos and stuff. There was an option for just free members. So apparently, if you paid, you weren't still getting to see the behind-the-scenes photos.
Oh.
But now there's a setting that it's like for all members. So now, from here on out, everybody that's on there, whether it be a free member or a paid member, you're still going to get these behind the scenes photos, which we got some. Dude, there's a really good photo I got. It's that one of Shank and Cutler. Like you see Shank like getting in the zone and then you see Cutler off in the background. Little did he know Shank was about to answer the open challenge. But yeah, man, that's over on the Patreon. You know, that's the best way to support us over there, patreon.com/madbashstudios. But I understand how it is. Sometimes you don't have the extra ducats to toss our way. That's completely fine. You can still support us free over on the Patreon. You're going to get some really cool behind the scenes photos and videos every so often. You're still going to get alerts to whenever posts go live, all of that. Another really good way you can support us for free is to head on over to the YouTube channel. check out all of our Mad Bash Uncut videos. Check out Danville Dreamers. Check out, we got a couple fan cam videos up there. We got all sorts of stuff up there. Or you can go to your favorite podcasting platform, leave us a 5-star written review. That's arguably the best way to support us, so we get more eyes on what we're doing. You can find links to all of that over there on madbashstudios.com, patreon.com/madbashstudios.
There's also an extra bonus way to support us this month.
What is this?
The sewer layer parking lot sale, baby.
Brother, you're killing the spot. I was going to get to that in the plug ski section.
Oh, shit.
How about we do this? We've done this for, I believe this is the 40th episode. 50th episode of this podcast. This is 49. How about you do this? How about you just let me take care of it?
The co-host, I'm trying to co-host this ship, and you already got your plans in the fucking water.
Yeah, you know this, though. You know this. You've done this long enough. Well, he buried the lead on this one. I was going to wait to do the plug ski section, but let's go ahead and get into the plug ski section. We have got a couple of dates coming up here. May 25th, Terre Haute, Indiana. Why don't you come on out to the Sewer Layer Toys parking lot sale? We are going to be there. We're going to have some Mad Bash Wrestling merch, some Mad Bash stickers, some t-shirts. We're going to have a bunch of collectibles over there, AEW figures. We are doing a giveaway of signed AEW figures. More details on that, you can ask it at the booth. We will tell you everything you need to know about it. And I happen to know, I've heard from a little birdie, there may or may not be a couple Mad Bash boys there for to get some photo ops with everyone that is going to be there. It's going to be a fun time. Over on the YouTube channel, we have got Mad Bash Wrestling Uncut. By the time that this goes live for the public, we will have Logan Ridge versus Clayton Clark. Shout out to Ignite Pro Wrestling. That is where that match took place. They were gracious enough to let me get some Mad Bash Wrestling Uncut footage. So you're going to be seeing that popping up here on the YouTube. It will be up by the time you hear this podcast to the public on Thursday. But again, the biggest plug ski of them all, patreon.com, Madbash Studios, Ascend the Throne is available. There's two ways that you can watch that. You can back us at the $5 tier. You're going to get it involved in your membership, or the $10 tier, or you can go on to the digital store and buy the streaming rights for $8. You can stream it right there. You can watch it. This is a can't miss event. See the coronation of Chris Cutler becoming the Mad Bash Wrestling Champion. One more plug ski for you guys. Elite Pro Wrestling Tag Team Warfare is now on YouTube. You can hear our lovely, lovely voices in the commentary booth. You can also see Chris Cutler's first official Mad Bash Wrestling title defense against Aaron Atlas and Clayton Clark. This is the first time that you are going to get to see that match, but you know, here's a little bit of a hint ski. You're going to be able to see that match coming up in a different format at a different time. Teasing everyone right there. We're making anyway.
Spoiler alert.
No, I'll probably cut that part out. That's all the plugs that we got going on right now, man. We're firing on all cylinders. That's all that we know how to do. And I don't see the train slowing down at any point.
Not at all, man.
I don't want it to. That's a lie. I absolutely want it to. I need a break. I am very, very tired. Speaking of being tired over there, man, you're pounding that coffee.
I'm almost halfway through, bro.
Yeah.
I'm still recuperating from your birthday weekend.
It was a fun weekend.
It was very fun.
It was a fun weekend.
Started out with a little independent wrestling show. Yeah. Great time with the guys there. Yeah.
Let's talk about hybrid.
Yeah,
let's talk about our weekend, man. Dickie Wabash got a new role.
New role?
I'm your backstage correspondent for Hybrid Championship Wrestling.
How's that make you feel?
I like it. It's a lot of fun. It's a change of pace. I get to do my inner mean gene, you know.
What's your go-to catchphrase during it?
I don't have a send-off or anything. I don't need catchphrases.
You got to have one, dude. You're a backstage correspondent.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Nope. You got to be generic. Come on, man.
Nope. There's nothing generic about me. Nothing generic about me at all. Here's the thing. it's like, you see the backstage interviews and stuff nowadays, but like the old, like tell me that whenever you saw Mean Gene back there, you didn't know you were going to be getting a good
backstage
little moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I kind of want to make it seem like,
what you're doing has purpose.
But not even that. But I mean, I just kind of want to give it my own spin on it, you know, and I think that's what I've always done. And I think that's what gets you noticed, is that you get to do your own spin.
I don't know if the show's out yet, but who was your first interview?
The show
with?
Is out yet. It's on, or out so far. It's on IWTV. I got to interview The Hype.
Ooh.
About their tag team tables match against the War Pigs. Gotta ask them.
That, I believe, was match of the night.
Yeah, that was a good match. That was a good match. But I also got to give some shout out to the Mad Bash boys. I mean, Clayton Clark went out there with Avery Hertz, had a really good match. Dalton Davis went out there, had a triple threat match. He came out victorious.
That was Davis, for beer and science.
Dalton Davis actually won a match with the Jaeger Bomb.
I couldn't believe it, man.
I know, right? That's how Dalton be doing. He be out there hitting the Jaeger Bomb with his gruff-ass voice, and then he just slams him down.
Kind of sad I didn't get a scene off with your head, but hey.
They can't win them all with. I mean, you can win them all with.
He
with
can,
your head, but
he
you,
can.
That move knocked out Cecil Cerveza cold, right
instant,
there.
Instant, man.
Instant. You want to talk about a good match, though? I want to give a shout out to the newest Mad Bash boy.
Spoiler again?
This isn't a spoiler. How is this a spoiler?
We haven't announced it yet.
I'm announcing it right now.
But yeah, but it's not been like formal in or now, so this is a spoiler for the podcast.
This is the formal announcement, you idiot.
So we're doing it live on the podcast.
Yes!
No backtracing, no
wrong
nothing.
With you today? Are you just like, are you on this playing field? Because like, I think that you forgot how to host a podcast.
I remember how to host a podcast.
You're just like, oh, this is a spoiler. It's like, no, you fucking moron. I'm making the announcement.
Okay, let's have it on the podcast.
Well, I mean, at this point,
brother, I'm just trying to get used to the website and the Facebook pages over here, okay?
Hey, shout out to Logan Myers. Logan Myers is officially a Mad Bash boy. He has gone from being a friend of Mad Bash. He is now an official Mad Bash boy. You'll be seeing a lot more Logan under the Mad Bash wrestling banner.
And I love to see it.
Love to see it. He's an incredible talent. You know, he's a name that was brought up a few times by a couple of people, by Dalton Davis and Oliver Kane, because we were asking, like, whose people do you think that we should work with?
And
you,
the empathy would like to see. Of Mad Bash
and
Wrestling.
And we kept hearing this, Logan Myers. And then we've gotten to know him, gotten to hang out with him, gotten to, break bread with him, if you will. And yeah, I think we told him, we was like, dude, it's official. You're just a Mad Bash guy now. Like, let's make it what it is.
So
let's just call it
a few handshakes and a happy little time.
Yep. But yeah, man, it was an overall good show. It was a lot of fun. There's just something special about that West Terre Haute Community Center, man, that always will be.
And the crowd keeps getting bigger and bigger there for him.
And they keep getting hotter and hotter.
Love to see it.
You just love to see wrestling succeed in general.
Absolutely, man. I do not love to see little kids that can't make up their mind on who to cheer and boo, though.
Well,
that crowd was like bizarro led. You had like this group of like 25-year-olds that led the damn show themselves. Like, it was awkward.
At the end of the day, pro wrestling is about the kids and like what the kids enjoy like seeing. But I mean, it's also like they're just trying to figure it out as they're going along. So then they're just,
dude,
like,
those little kids were vicious.
All they see is a guy come out with all this pomp and circumstance, regardless of who it is, and they're like, hey, yeah, that's very cool. But then they see it's like, oh no, boo, you're a bad guy. So then they have to like pivot and become the bad guy. Or start booing the bad guy rather. But yeah, it was a fun night. Always a fun night in West Terre Haute. Love it. It's our hometown, so of course we're gonna be partial. We're gonna be a little bit biased.
Just a little bit.
Not much, just a skosh, just a skosh of being partial.
I mean, it's always good seeing familiar faces in the crowd.
Yeah. I agree. But it was also cool to see a lot of strange faces in the crowd too, like new faces,
mm-hmm.
like that I've never seen at shows, and like I think that that's a testament to the promotion that Hybrid was doing. Is they one of their sponsors, one of the local bars here, like, I've seen these people in the bar. So, like, they were clearly like, oh, hey, this flyer looks pretty cool. Let's go. Like, I've, like, there was an entire, like, group of people, like, that was by the entranceway. And mm-hmm. I saw this group of guys walk in, and I was like, hey, I've seen them at Tolly's.
That's what a good sponsorship package works out for you, though, man. Yes,
and it's all about promotion. We talk about this all the time. You gotta promote. You can't just expect people to show up.
You can't just throw it up on Facebook and be like, hey, here we are.
Hey, boom, this be us.
You can't trust Meta for anything.
Ah, do not get me fucking started. Have I ranted about this before?
You have not ranted on microphone about this.
Are you sure? I feel like I did.
I'm positive.
How the fuck are you supposed to grow a company on Facebook?
There's no way.
I feel like that they are like actively rooting against you.
Meta is by far the worst platform I've ever tried to grow anything on.
Yeah, because you see some people that are like, oh, you should put the links in the comments. And that's like, no, you got to share the link. And like Meta's even telling you, like, give your people a link to click on. And it's like, okay, I'm going to give them a link to click on. But you just don't bury me in the algorithm and like you just never see it.
Dude, like. 15 years ago on Facebook, like, it was easy to like throw up a company promotion on Facebook and get like thousands upon thousands of likes. And now the way they got it set up, you can't do fucking shit.
Dude, Madrox and I are veterans of the Facebook page wars. Remember Ooh. The Facebook page wars?
Yep.
I got this many likes on my Facebook page. Well, I've got this many likes on my Facebook page. Well, I've got this many likes on my Facebook page. Dude, that was, I don't know if that was just the group of people that we were associated with, or if that was just a common thing with independent wrestlers in general, but like people were loving to brag about how many likes they had on their Facebook
page. People were
page.
Upping their fucking booking rates because of how many likes they'd have on Facebook.
That's a shoot.
And it's so ridiculous when you think about it, like, because that like means fucking nothing. It's all about the interest of that page. Like, you can scroll through and like a page and forget about it 2 weeks later and never see that page again in your damn life.
But see, back then it wasn't like that.
That is true.
It was literally because then they hadn't factored in their stupid new Meta algorithm or whatever.
Back then's when you used to be able to do that spam link where it sent out like fucking an automatic like to everyone on your friend's Facebook page that certain promoters would like to use.
Or certain promoters allegedly would buy likes
mm-hmm.
just to prove the fact that they...
Were the better drawing show. Oh, yeah. I got 12,000 likes on Facebook, but I can't even sell 200 tickets.
This is a word. This may or may not have happened. This may or may not have happened. Just saying.
Allegedly.
That's why we got to drop that ever important allegedly, because we just, not naming names, but... You know, let's just say that at a certain point, there was just a huge wave of likes that would come into a huge wave of new likes that would come in, and you would be like, yep, something's up.
Kind of like those old websites with the fake like counters and stream counters.
Oh, yeah. You're making me go back to an old episode of Page Show on that one.
Yeah, I think we've already discussed it, but
we discussed that on an old Page Show. I don't remember which Page Show it is, but I just unleashed a barrage.
I was with V, I believe.
No, V was not on this one. This was like either right before or right after V.
Ah.
Because it got me thinking about it. But yeah, man, social media is like super duper important to like grow your brand. I'm not breaking new ground by saying that. I'm actually being very cliche by saying that. Like, you need to have social media in order to fucking grow. But at the same time, it is a fucking bitch to make anything happen on social media because it's all favorable. Like,
it's all pay to play anymore.
Pretty much. And then when you pay, you're not even guaranteed that you're going to get
anything out of return.
We said that you would get up to this amount. And it's like, okay. And then they'll start being like, well, see, you paid this amount of money. So it's like companies your size tend to pay this amount of money. And then it's like it sets a precedent of where it's like they will just flat out tell you. They'll be like, ah, you're not going to get enough eyes if you're paying this amount of money. And it's like, dude, come on. It's a fucking Ponzi
scheme. Oh, you're
going
to pay this amount of money? We're going to give you one extra like to your Facebook page.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's... It's almost as if like the idea of street teaming needs to come back.
I'm 100% for that.
Like grassroots.
Grassroots flyer in hand.
Yeah.
Hit up the malls, hit up the supermarkets, let it be out there and known.
Why do you think we're doing an event like the sewer layer sale? Because that's going to get us like, we're going to be able to look at these people in the eye and be like, hi, how are you? I'm Dickie. This is Madrox. This is what we do. You would like our product, you know, something like that, instead of just scrolling through and being like, ascend the throne. I don't, what the hell's that mean? You know,
yeah, what's a spot show?
Yeah, what's the spot show?
Is this a band on Spotify?
Yeah, no shit. But yeah, that's, it's tough. It's tough.
I wonder how many people see like our ads and shit on Facebook and they're like, spot show? Is this a new rap group on Spotify?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. And then, like, when you run the ad, like, Facebook will, like, target specific things, but it doesn't fully explain what exactly they're targeting. So it's going to give you, like, the complete opposite of what you actually want. And it's like you're not getting your money's worth. Like, I lost $15. On the first ad that I ran, I had to cancel the ad and then rerun it. But what I will say is cool is that they don't make you pay one lump sum up in the beginning.
Yeah.
I will compliment them on that one.
It's over time and what they choose to promote.
Yes. And however many you see, it's like you see X amount of people. It's like, okay, we're going to go ahead and charge you X amount of money.
Just don't add a message button.
And that is exactly what fucked us over is that the link was supposed to take you to ascend the throne, but it was sending a message. It's just like, God bless
and boy,
it.
Boy, did we get some bot messages.
Still are.
Yes.
Still are. There has got to be a way to get rid of bots. Like, I mean, I understand that it's just, but fuck, come on, dude.
Dude, you can easily spot them just by their names.
Well, yeah, you can also easily spot them by the fact that they send you the same fucking message.
Yes, but like, dude, some of these names are genius. Like, corporate officer of copyright infringement at Meta.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Like, but you think, here's the thing, though, is that like, there are people dumb enough to like actually fall for it. Because like, if you click on those links, then it's going to be something that...
It's going to be something you don't want.
Uh-huh. 100%. You mean to tell me that copyright handling with no profile picture? Dear blank, your account will be deactivated. This is because your page or the activity on it doesn't comply with our terms of service. It's like, okay, that's pretty cool. Oh, hey, wait a minute. A couple of days ago, I got a random message from Inbox Assessment. It says,
Inbox assessment.
Dear blank, your account will be deactivated. This is because your page or the activity, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, Facebook user, dear admin, your account will be deactivated. So it's just like, oh my God, what did, Yassum Yesum.
Yassum Yesum.
Yeah. Oh, here's Sandeja Roy. Oh, her message is unavailable. Oh, hey, look, here's people that have actually reached out to us and wanted to work with us. Ah, that's cool. Oh, hey, look, we got more copyright handling here. Like, it's just like, what the fuck, guys? Like, it's ridiculous, dude. It just, it makes no sense. Makes no sense at all.
At least we know for future reference not to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but you have to, though. Like, that's the thing. It's like, but... That's just making you, and like, we were getting bot messages before running ads. Like, don't get me wrong, but you know, at the same time, it's just like, I just like, I love those videos of, the people that will track down, the scam callers.
Yeah.
And like find their address and stuff. Like, I find that shit so fucking funny. Like, I just love people getting their comeuppance I think. In the grand scheme of things.
I like the ones where they send like the SWAT to the actual call center and shit.
Yeah. Now, I'm not for SWATting because I think SWATting is a waste of resources and whatnot. But when you're sending it to these fucking shitty call centers, yeah, absolutely.
More power to them because you're actually saving people when you're doing this shit.
Yeah.
Especially like the elderly who don't know any better.
Mm-hmm. I know someone, and I will not say who. Who has fallen almost like 99% fallen for a phone scam twice.
Is it your mom?
No. No, it's not Mama Wabash. She almost did because there was one that was like, oh, you're Best Buy, blah, 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 blah. You're going to be charged this. And I was like, no, we don't have anything on file with Best Buy. They're not going to charge. Give me this number. I'll call
I know them. Somebody currently who's in one of those class action lawsuits that thinks they're going to get $90 million. So
really?
Yeah.
Like it's a fake class action lawsuit?
The Roundup weed killer causes cancer one?
Oh. Who? Oh, okay. Well, I'll bleep that out as well. That is at the 30-minute mark, roughly. What was the other thing I said I needed to cut out? Oh, yeah.
You should just leave that.
Cut that one out again. But, yeah. Well, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I understand, like, you know, old people are going to be a little bit...
I mean, you think about it, dude. Like, you can get millions of dollars, and all you got to do is send them your social security number and bank account number. Like, that's so simple not to pass up.
The one that got the person that I'm talking about is it was like, oh, you owe back taxes to the IRS. It's like the IRS does not call you. Like that's not. And like she almost gave him her bank account number and stuff. And it's like, come on. That's just a gimmick that I don't understand. But gimmicks.
We did have a topic for the show.
Is
but
that a segue right there? Is that Dickie Segways? I think that we get into the topic of this podcast right after we hear a word from our sponsors. This episode of the Spot Show podcast is also brought to you by Elite Pro Wrestling. Here's the thing about Elite Pro Wrestling, right? You have them to thank for the Spot Show podcast in many different ways. Elite Pro Wrestling gave Mad Bash Studios our first opportunity when we decided to come back into the wrestling business. So Elite Pro Wrestling is one of the OG backers. We love Elite Pro Wrestling so, so much. They are putting on incredible shows every single month. You should absolutely be there, whether it be in Odin, Indiana, Washington, Indiana. We would love to see you in the crowd there at Elite Pro Wrestling for every single thing that you need to know about EPW. Head on over to EliteProfessionalWrestling.com. There you are going to find dates, events, links, everything that you need to know about EPW. Thank you so much for being a day one sponsor, EPW. We very much appreciate it. This episode is brought to you by Yoo-Hoo, a product of Keurig Dr. Pepper. So here's what I want you to picture right now, right? You're on a long road trip. You're driving along and you're thinking, man, I could really go for a nice, sweet, refreshing drink. You pull into a gas station and the first thing you see is Yoo-Hoo. And I gotta tell you, grabbing that Yoo-Hoo, that's going to be the right decision every single time. Yoo-Hoo is available in a variety of flavors, vanilla, strawberry, but here at Mad Bash, our personal favorite is chocolate. I'm going to tell you about Yoo-Hoo a little bit more, right? We absolutely love this stuff here at Mad Bash. We cannot get enough of it. And you know what? We're going to sweeten the pot a little bit here thanks to Yoo-Hoo. If you see us at a wrestling show and you buy a Mad Bash wrestling sticker, you are entitled to one free bottle of Yoo-Hoo on Mad Bash Studios. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Now, come on, guys. You can't beat that deal with a stick. Again, Mad Bash would like to thank Yoo-Hoo so much for sponsoring this episode. Gimmicks. Gimmicks.
They make the world go round.
What is a gimmick, Michael Madrox?
A gimmick is a character type that you portray in the art of professional wrestling or other forms of entertainment.
Very good way to put it. Some could say the character. You know, we talked about character work specifically, but, you know, we did that in the first episode. We're talking about how important character work is.
Not every character has a gimmick, though.
But not every gimmick has a character.
Boom.
Boom. Absolutely. So I think what we're going to take a look at today, we're going to break down what we think are some of the best gimmicks in professional wrestling, whether it be in the big leagues or maybe something that we have seen on the indies that we absolutely think is a great gimmick that we think is so cool. But I'm going to tell you what's really, really cool is the fact that I'm dropping Drew McIntyre and picking up Liv Morgan on my premium live event team.
Out of nowhere, baby.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I could very easily drop or keep Drew McIntyre in hopes that he is going to be coming back. But I'm not going to do that because I kind of have my back against the wall and I feel like I need to make something happen. So I can't have an injury right now that
can't guarantee you any points at all.
Can't guarantee me anything. Liv Morgan is a means to an end. And I've wanted to pick up Liv Morgan for a bit. And
she was almost one of your top picks.
She almost was. Instead of Roxanne Perez, I almost went with Liv Morgan, which hindsight probably should have. But we're going to go ahead and go with Liv Morgan.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So that's what we're going to do. Let's talk about gimmicks. Let's talk about gimmicks.
Let's start with one of the good ones.
A good one. Here's what I'm going to start with. I'm going to start with a good one that I think needs to be talked about, that I actually really like, that we actually know these two.
Really?
Shout out to Crash. Shout out to Burn.
The War Pigs.
I got to tell you, Mount Olympus was a cool concept, but I like the War Pigs.
I love Crash and Burn.
Because to me, it feels like a really, really cool 80s territory. Here comes Crash and Burn. Or you can just hear Vince McMahon, Crash and Burn. Vince McMahon, Benoit, disclaimer every time.
The only thing I wish they would do different, you know how the Bushwhackers had Bushwhacker Luke. Bushwhacker.
Oh, Butch. War Pig Crash and War Pig Burn. That would be cool. Or Road Warrior Hawk, Warrior Animal.
I think they should bring that out.
But shout out to like reinventing themselves, you know, and like taking something that was kind of working, but is like, you know,
I feel like the transition needed to happen.
You got to always grow and
Mount
evolve.
Olympus was more targeted to Aaron's gimmick.
Yes.
And I don't think that Austin Ryan really, his character fit into a Mount Olympus style person.
He tried.
He made the best of it. But I think the War Pigs is where it's at, where they both can be their own person and still continue to grow as a tag team.
Yeah. Yeah. That's absolutely what I got to say here is that I think that on our level, you know, something like that, like tag team wrestling is something that I feel like is really sought after on the indies now. And to give a definitive, you know, the War Pigs, Crash and Burn, you know, I think, like I said, it's a like almost a throwback to like territory days.
Absolutely.
Really,
man.
Dig it.
I love the old school vibes. Another independent talent we talk about all the time that's really invested in their fucking gimmick and goes out there and kills it every fucking time they're in the ring. Colby Jack. You thought I was going to say Jared Savage.
No, that's not. Here's the thing. Colby has a level of commitment to his character that I have seen few and far between.
He works it like he's in the 80s, man.
Yep.
This is the only person I know that'll put his mask on 30 minutes away from the show just in case someone in the town recognizes him. Like, that's dedication, dude.
Yeah.
Dedication.
Yes.
And Colby is, I'm going to say it right here. Colby Jack is one of the best hands in independent professional wrestling in this damn area.
Yeah, he can do anything. He can do your commentary. He can wrestle.
He can make your guy look good.
Yeah.
He can go out there and tell stories. Like, shout out to Colby Jack.
Yeah. Love Colby, friend of the show, and not just a friend of the show. He's a Mad Bash boy.
So. Yep.
Yeah, he is one of the good ones, man. We really got to figure out. He got kind of screwed over in that title match, man. We got to figure that out, or in that rather the tournament match. Yeah, you saw it on EPW Engage. Like, he's flat out calling out Cutler, being like, "Hey, my shoulder was up," and you know what? I'll be the first to admit right here. Yeah, his shoulder was up. His
shoulder was clearly up.
Yeah.
The ref didn't see it, but the camera sure did catch it.
Yep. Camera always catches it.
I'm just throwing it out there. I know a couple guys.
I know a couple guys that have the ability to rectify that. Yeah.
Shoot us a phone call, brother.
Yeah, I know a couple of guys that have the ability to rectify that. But yeah, Colby's a good one. Colby's one of the good ones. He's going to kill me, but I mean, we got to talk about the old Shotgun City Sheriff, man.
That's true. He lives the gimmick.
He is the gimmick. Like, that's what's crazy about Clayton is that, like, when I look at him and I see, like, him saying that he is the law and the eyes of the sheriff are upon you, I believe it. And because he believes it, because he knows it's true. Because he knows that he can go out there and, you know, the old Clydesdale, you know, he can go out there. A Clydesdale is a show horse and a workhorse. And that's exactly what Clayton Clark is.
What you see in the ring is what you see outside of the ring.
Yeah.
And fans ain't privy enough to see that. But like, we are behind the scenes and shit. Like, same person.
Yeah. Very dedicated. You give him an inch, he'll take a mile. In a good way, make anything work, make anything happen. So shout out to him, man. Like, he carried on, you know, he got the keys to Shotgun City from Bo Sawyer. And I think that, and I mean this with every ounce of love to Bo, but I think that Clayton has done more for the whole Shotgun City thing than Bo ever did.
Absolutely.
And I think Bo would probably agree.
Clayton picked up the ball and ran with it.
That's what he does, though. Clayton is always just picking up the ball and running with it. And I think that that's no secret. That's why he was one of the first Mad Bash boys.
Speaking of first Mad Bash boys, we got to get this guy out here if we're going local first off. Shank Barzini.
I was
going
to bring up Shanker.
Shank Barzini, dude. That is the Undertaker of the independent Midwest.
When I said it, Shank Barzini is your favorite wrestler's favorite wrestler.
I agree.
He is able to flip that switch
in an instant too.
Yes.
He doesn't need to like pregame or spend hours in the dark banging his head off the wall. You can just look at him and he gets this little twinkle in his eye and you know that Wes Pinkley's out the door and Shank Barzini just kicked that bitch in.
He's just the best. Like, we praise him all the time. And if you're tired of hearing it, I apologize, but you're going to hear it more. I have nothing but love for Shank Barzini. I am always going to love Shank Barzini, and it pisses me off that he has been treated certain ways by certain people, and I'm not going to get into it, but I think that he is a man that deserves every bit of flowers that he has ever given, not just because of his character work, his in-ring work, his gimmick. Just like, I made the comment, Shank Barzini said that he's here to kill a man, and I believe it. He makes me believe that you are going to see a murder take place right before you.
And which is crazy, because we've been in this business for so long. We've known Shank for so long, but he still comes out there and makes us forget what we're doing and makes us believe in everything he says he's going to do.
Yeah, that's how you know that you got a gimmick.
Absolutely, man. When you can work the boys like that, shit. Game over.
Yeah. So we're going to transition into more like national stuff. I mean, we can still kind of sprinkle in some indie stuff.
Yeah, when it pops up in our little heads.
What do you think in your 25 plus years of watching wrestling? I'm assuming, how old were you started watching wrestling?
I was 3.
In your 31 years of watching wrestling.
God.
I know, right? What do you think is the absolute worst gimmick that the you have worst ever, gimmick ever seen?
Oh, man. That'd be a tie-up between TL Hopper and Tank Abbott.
You're going Tank Abbott is one of them.
I couldn't understand the whole Tank Abbott other than I'm going to fight you, but I'm going to have my nipples cut out. Like, what was the point?
It always comes back to Tank Abbott. I thought we were away from WCW. We'll 2000. Never,
dude, you can't have gimmicks without WCW.
No.
Like, who was yours?
See, that's the tough one because I am a gimmick guy. I love gimmicks. And I'm always going to find a way to love a gimmick, even if I hate it.
Teal Hopper, though.
Tank Abbott, though, I'm going to be, this is probably going to be the most hipster thing that I've ever done.
Oh, boy. Get the recorders ready, guys.
I did not like the Fashion Police.
What is wrong with you?
I didn't like them.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I can't explain it. They just never... I think it's because I don't like Fandango. I didn't like Fandango. The meme was cool, but I
dude, just, the Fashion Police brought us Undercover Breeze, though.
Okay, doesn't matter. I didn't like it.
Oh my God. Not even the Usos backlash match with Undercover Breeze.
Okay, cool. Didn't like it. Sorry, I just didn't like it.
I can't believe you right now, dude.
I know. I just
didn't. That was like the best like gimmick they brought out.
I shouldn't say it's the worst gimmick, but like I just was not a fan of the Fashion Police. I know people loved them. I know people like thought it was so great. I thought that, but I just like not for me.
So you don't like Pretty Deadly?
Not really. No, not really.
I can't stand Pretty Deadly because all I see when I look at them is a ripoff of the Fashion Police.
Mm-hmm.
Which you get a lot with gimmicks.
Mm-hmm. What's the best ripoff gimmick that you've ever seen? Like it's clearly inspired by another gimmick, but they did it and then they did it better. There is one right answer to this, and I'm going to see if you do it.
Bray Wyatt
with Waylon Mercy. That's the answer. I don't want to get into Bray just yet.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're going to close out with him because...
That's a whole lot of gimmick to unwrap.
Oh, my God. There's just so much to the lore of that man. There's just so much to the lore of that gimmick. Yeah, we'll get into Bray. We'll get into Bray a little bit more. But...
See, were you more of the WWF style gimmicks of the... Like average like the, workers, the gimmicks.
New generation era.
Yeah.
Like whenever, like Mick Foley, I think always says that every wrestler had to have an occupation.
Yes.
No, like I don't
Duke
like
the dumpster, the goon, shit like that. Or were you more of the WCW gimmick, like the Mortal Kombat ripoff characters?
Glacier's the shit, and I don't want to hear otherwise.
No, I'm saying like Glacier, Mortis, Wraith, like fuck yeah.
The cold as ice shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those gimmicks went hard for how cartoony and cheesy they were.
If they did a cold as ice ringside exclusive pack, I'd buy it in a heartbeat.
Oh, fucking hands down, dude.
I think I've said that before.
I think we discussed that on the figure hunting one. Like, yeah, what toys we want to see.
Yeah, that would be dope.
But then at the same time, you got the gimmicks from like ECW, which they became more real life. The gimmicks like Raven, your Sandman, your Sabus, and your Tazes.
Yeah.
Like, which ones do you think worked better for the wrestling crowds?
It's funny that you say for the wrestling crowds because it ultimately depends on the crowd. An ECW crowd is going to shit on a Duke the Dumpster Drosy, but a Sandman is not going to work for a WCW crowd at that time. Like whenever Hack came out, Hardcore Hack, it was fine. But
I think Surfer Sandman would have worked great in WCW.
Surfer Sandman would have worked great for the new generation.
Yes.
That's what I think. I think that
could you imagine Sandman and Henry O. Godwin in a fucking pigpen match?
I can't imagine it, and I am mad that it is not a thing. What was I talking to Clayton about the other day? Oh, we were fantasy booking something. I don't, was it Marvel? Oh, we were talking about how we want to see an animated series of Steve Rogers returning all the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
And I was like, Clayton, we got to stop. I said, because what we're laying out right now, there's no way that it ever happens, and it's going to upset me. So we need to stop this right now because, no, not going to happen at all.
That might be interesting to do for a paid show after this.
What?
Fantasy Book of Five card gimmick only pay-per-view.
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
We'll absolutely do that. That'd be cool. That'll be a little cool conversation for a paid show. But I think another person that what I'm about to say here might be a little controversial. But at the same time, you can't argue with what I'm about to say here. Cody Rhodes is one of the best character-driven wrestlers of all time.
Yes, especially the shitty to a Stardust.
That's my point. Because he went from just normal Cody Rhodes to dashing Cody Rhodes to the Elephant Man to the Rhodes Scholar. Yeah, to undashing Cody Rhodes, to mustache Cody with the Rhodes Scholars, to just teaming up with his brother, to Stardust, to the American Nightmare.
All within a span of like 4 years.
And he made every single one of them work.
Who are some other guys that did that through history, though?
Mick Foley is another one that really comes to mind.
Mick Foley, we're all presented to him as a self, though. Like, Cactus Jack was his creation. Dude Love was his creation.
Doesn't matter. I mean, the point is, like, he was able to take the gimmicks and run with him.
Mm-hmm. Fucking Midian.
Midian always made it work.
Yes. Stevie Richards.
Yeah. Stevie Richards is a good one.
His fucking Right to Censor character, top notch. Hands down.
I was just thinking about him whenever he was the Stockholm Syndrome boyfriend to Victoria.
Yes.
That was cool.
Blue Trunks Stevie.
Yep. Blue Trunks and then Pink Trunks Stevie.
Dr. Stevie.
Ooh. I forgot about Dr. Stevie.
Him and Daphne and TNA. Phenomenal, dude.
Yeah. Where he was the doctor and she was the patient.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
Who do you think's the biggest gimmick of all time?
Like, what do you mean?
Well, I'm going to mad lib some words here and see if you can put it out. Zombie cowboy who likes motorcycles.
Oh, so you're saying it's like a gimmick that is just fucking
transcended fucking time and history and
space.
Yeah,
it's the Undertaker.
It has to be. I mean, in a close second's fucking Renegade. I mean, he ripped off the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, dude, Undertaker is the living gimmick of all professional wrestling.
And the fact that he's like just Mark Calloway now, like my childhood's gone.
It's so weird hearing his podcast and shit, him pulling back the curtain.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like it.
I don't either.
It's hard for me to listen to because like he's been like the bar of kayfabe for so many fucking years. And now he's just back here like peeling off the layers.
So what's your favorite version of The Undertaker?
Red Devil.
I was going to say Red Devil as well.
Just something about the whole badass. Like, I don't dress like the devil, but I'm still here to do the devil's work.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's the Undertaker to me.
Red Devil, I consider Red Devil like 02 to like until he came back as the Dead Man.
I consider it fucking leather pants, short hair.
Yeah. Short hair Undertaker is Red Devil.
Yes.
That's the Red Devil. Big Evil. Red Devil. Yeah. My second favorite Undertaker is like from like Hell in the Cell with Shawn up until the Ministry. Like that era of the Undertaker. Like
the tweener transition.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I would have to go, my second best would be the Ministry of Darkness.
That's number three for me.
Because, you know, I'm a horror kid, so, like, all that shit fascinated me, and the paranormal shit, like, setting people on fire with lightning bolts out of an arena. I was like, how the fuck did they do that?
So let's rank his gimmicks. Number one, we got to go, I think, Red Devil.
Red Devil.
Then number two, you and I agree to disagree, but I'm going to give that one to you because I think Ministry Taker is really fucking good. And then honestly, number three, let's talk about like Purple Gloves Undertaker.
Yes, the Face Taker.
Yeah.
And then after that, I would have to go with the Phantom Taker.
Phantom of the Opera Taker?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that was just so different. And I mean, that's the first time he got set on fire, wasn't it?
Maybe.
When they killed him off the first time?
They didn't set him on fire. They put him in the casket. Because that was when Yokozuna beat him in the casket match. Mm. And they nailed the casket shut and rolled it to the back. And they did that.
Oh, yeah. Then video. He came back with the flying wing shit.
Yep.
That was a good taker, too.
Yeah, that was a good taker.
I mean, since he went back to the dead man after the whole American Badass thing, I really didn't like his gimmick from that point.
It wasn't the same.
Because it was either a mix of the American Badass or he tried to go back to the original taker. And just like the gear and everything just threw me off where I was like, that's not my taker.
No. Singlet, like dead man singlet is not, that's not my Undertaker.
I would have to put that at the bottom of the list for me. Like he had some of his best matches, but like gimmick wise, bottom.
That's arguably his best run.
Yeah.
Is from like when he first came back in like 04 until he was like no longer full time in like what, 12?
Yeah.
12 or 13.
But like I just couldn't get behind the gimmick, man.
Has Undertaker really not been full time that long?
Since before Punk's match.
Oh my God. Who did he face? Who was, it was Triple H before Punk, right?
Yeah, and then two Hell in a Cells, and those were just yearly shits.
Oh my God. Him on the road full, I'm gonna have
the last full time he run he did is when he won the Royal Rumble and the championship.
Oh my God, that was like 09. When did
the most professional unprofessional? Let's Google right now, baby.
I don't have a Jamie to look that up. Stop being full time. So when did Undertaker stop wrestling full time? Wow.
When was it?
Probably like it says right here, post WrestleMania 25. Wow. His last full-time run was August-September of 09 until fall of 2010 after he lost a Buried Alive match with Kane. Which that makes sense because when he came back from the Buried Alive match with Kane, that was the 2-21-11. Remember 2-21-11?
No.
When it was the cabin? That was Ain't No Grave Taker.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And everyone thought Sting was the one in the cabin?
Yes, yes, yes.
How have we not talked about Sting?
What's a Sting? The singer?
Yeah. I love the Police.
Yeah. I like the shit he did with Diddy.
Yeah. It was good. It was, we don't talk about Diddy, but, Sting, like everyone just says Crow Sting and it's like, that's what I was like, no, like there was Surfer Sting.
I prefer Joker Sting over all the Stings.
There's different versions of Crow Sting. Because there's the Icon Sting, there's Crow Sting, there's Joker Sting, there's Vigilante Sting.
There's Hill Sting.
Heel Sting.
Main Event Mafia Sting.
Main Event Mafia Sting was good.
Yes.
Liked Main Event Mafia Sting. I just liked the Main Event Mafia.
I didn't like Blade Runner Sting.
No, I don't think anyone did, especially Jim Hellwig. But, I was closing out of Facebook and I just read a really funny thing, a meme on Facebook. I'll say it on page show because it's really fucking, I don't want to say it on spot show, but I've said it before and I will say it again. It's very controversial that I am saying this. I don't remember when I said it, but I did for a fact say it and I stand by it. The only reason that we talk about Bray Wyatt is simply because of his character work.
Yes.
Name a 5-star Bray Wyatt match.
You can't do it.
You can't do it. He was a mediocre worker, in my opinion.
He was a gimmick.
But his mind for character and building that character and making the character work, second to The Undertaker. in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I still want to know this day what was whispered between those two.
I think Undertaker has come out and said it.
No.
Oh, Taker hasn't?
No, he was just on a podcast recently, and he's like, since he passed away, there's no reason that it should leave me and him.
Yeah, that's true. So then with that, what do you think it is about Bray Wyatt that made him so special with these characters?
He invested everything he had into those characters. Like, when he was the Louisiana Madman, he went on Instagram posting pictures of him out of, like, five-star restaurants and eating. Like, he'd post pictures of him out in the middle of the fucking woods taking a dirt nap. Like, he lived that character in the public eye where you didn't know what was real and what wasn't. Just like The Undertaker used to do back in the day.
And The Undertaker had the luxury of being around in a time where there was no social media, so he didn't have to, you know, do anything.
Absolutely. You know? He'd just show up in a hearse or ride ambulances to and from buildings.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk about just the way that Bray Wyatt would immerse himself in these characters. And, like, that's such a good way to put it. Like, that's such a good way to put it. Like, you gotta wonder, like, what really was gonna happen with this return? Like, what did they really have in mind for him? Like, this, it's a shame.
This might be controversial, but Bray Wyatt played a cult leader.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt studied, like, cults and everything. You have to understand the fact that Bray Wyatt himself, in a way, became the product of his studies. Because how else could Bray Wyatt take all these people around him and convince them, this is the way to build your career, this is how it's going to happen, this is what it's going to do. He fucking took real life and made it into the gimmick.
It's a good way to put it.
Because, I mean, you see how hard it is just having a tag team in professional wrestling to get everybody on the board. This dude had like 6-7 people around him at all times, like, yep, we believe in this. This is what we're going to follow. This is how our character is going to be. You can't tell me that's not some real life cult shit.
I know how I feel about this, so I'm curious to see what your thoughts are. Do you think that Bray Wyatt's ideas, and I'm not saying this is a detriment to him, do you think that Bray Wyatt's ideas were a little bit too... what's the word I'm looking for here? We're a little bit too grandiose for wrestling.
Absolutely.
Like, do you think that he should have pulled it back just a little bit?
I mean, in the long game, probably to make it more sense, and he probably wouldn't have got released that first time. But at the same time, like, he figured out a way to make it fucking work. And I think he strived in the COVID era where they could do, like, cutscenes and shit like that. Bray would have been the greatest theatrical performer of all time if he could pull off everything he set his mind to.
That can be said for a lot of, like, there's so many people that just, like, have the ideas and they try to pull it off, but they just can't do it. I feel like Bray really only scratched the surface of, like, maybe 50% of what he could do with these ideas. And I do think that it was a blessing and a curse. Because I really do think that his ideas transcended wrestling. And sometimes that's not necessarily a good thing. Sometimes you got to kind of slow down a little bit and understand your audience and, like, realize that, yeah, this stuff is important, but there's got to be a good 50-50 split between what your character is and what's going on in the ring. And I think that Bray focused a little bit too much on the theatrics of it. And to say that I'm saying that that's a bad thing, that's fucking weird. But again, you got to know that balance of, like, when is enough enough?
Especially in, like, the market WWE was in at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was mainly casual fans at the time. It was, like, right before the AEW, like, diehard tribalism came back shit. So, like, you got Bray Wyatt out there doing, like, all this spooky little paranormal shit. A 5-year-old turning on the TV channel for the first time watching wrestling ain't gonna understand what the hell's going on. So I see completely where you're coming from.
It just, at the end of the day, you have to remember this is about wrestling. That's what this is. And you can't do
You too can't take much. The simplicity away from it.
Now, here's what I will say. Had he not passed away, the way that we're going with wrestling now is perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes his death that much more devastating, is that you know that everything was finally falling into place. We're doing these cryptic messages. We're transcending wrestling and we're doing it right. And this would have been the run for Bray Wyatt.
He would have been at the top of the world right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's almost to say that Bray Wyatt was just 10 years too early.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yep. Just, he was a little bit like, the timing of it was just lined up like so much. But yeah, man, I mean, of course, rest in peace, Bray Wyatt. Obviously, I hope that no one takes it as we're disparaging his memory.
Not at all, man.
But I just think that ultimately, yeah, it's like maybe his brain was a little bit too big for it. And now we would have seen everything play out the way that he had it in his head. He was a dreamer, and I will never fault someone for being a dreamer. Never will. So with that being said, we talked about these over-the-top grandiose ideas. We talked about the supernatural element of it. Talked about all of that. Who is the best, in your opinion, just bare-bones gimmick of all time?
Chris Candido.
But no gimmicks needed.
No gimmicks needed.
Yep, that's a good way to put it.
All he went out there and did was fucking wrestle, and people loved him for it.
Yeah. But did they, though? Because, I mean, I think he's another one that is he's the antithesis of what I just said with Bray Wyatt, is that you put a little bit too much into the wrestling and don't worry about the development.
That's true, but Candido just pulled it off, man. He said no gimmicks needed, but he was just a working fucking gimmick.
Yeah. One.
Another one I'd be stupid not to throw out there is fucking Gangrel.
Mm-hmm.
That dude made his shit fucking work.
Yeah. To the point of where you really thought that he was a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that he's actually out, like,
drinking blood
from people's necks, but, like, that he was, like, just drinking it from his chalice. Like, I thought that was real blood, you know, because I was stupid. But, yeah, Gangrel's another good one to put it. But I really do think, though, of the last few years, the best character that we have seen has been the Tribal Chief.
Roman Reigns.
Because the way they paid it off so perfectly with him hitting Seth Rollins with the chair. Here's the thing. Roman Reigns is someone deep down with deep-seated trust issues. It's always been that way with him. It started with Seth, and then Dean turned on him for a time being. Then, or not even turned on him, but just turned on, you know, when Dean was doing the heel stuff, like, yeah, it could tie into Roman, like, what are we doing? Sami Zayn turning on him. Like, all this shit. Jimmy and Jay turning on him. And then he looks at Seth Rollins, and you see the embodiment of, this is the start of my trust issues. Boom. And it cost him everything.
Yep.
Like, that is...
That's long-term storytelling right there.
Long-term storytelling.
Yeah. That's why I try to save it with my honky accent.
That is chef's kiss. That is why wrestling is Shakespeare. And I believe that. I've said that from the very beginning.
But the Tribal Chief also, at the same time, is not an over-the-top gimmick. It's a natural light dusting of a gimmick.
I'm not saying that everything has to be over-the-top. No, I'm just saying it's a gimmick that I think is
That I like that, though. Yeah. Like with the Chris Candido, no gimmicks needed. That was his gimmick. It was lightly dusted.
Mm-hmm. And then you look at someone like Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was just the guy that is telling his boss, fuck off.
Yep.
And that's all he needed.
Blue collar.
He's going to come in, kick you in the gut, dump you on your chin. What? I mean, that's just all Stone Cold needed to be.
We could cover like WCW's worst gimmicks in like a 4-hour podcast.
Oof. If you want to know WCW's worst gimmicks, check out our review of New Blood Rising that we did.
No, nah, brother, I'm talking further back. I'm talking about like 95 Halloween Havoc. Oh, Ding and Dong. The fucking Dungeon of Doom.
The Yeti, the Shark, Zodiac. Yeah. Oh, my God. Evad.
We can even go NWO, dude. We got the Disciple coming through.
Brutus Beefcake, brother. Brother Brudeye.
Brother Brudeye.
Let's talk about Brudeye's gimmicks, man.
I'm the butt man first.
The booty man.
The booty man.
Yeah, it was booty, booty man. Then he was Zodiac. And then he was... There was so many.
There was back so many. To the booty man.
Let's look up...
Brother Brudeye's gimmicks.
Yeah.
Let's rate these for a show closer.
Yeah. Brutus Beefcake. He's just recently been in my Google searches because of his episode of Dark Side of the Ring.
Brutus Beefcake's his best gimmick.
Okay. So we had, I'm going to run down all of his renames right here.
How many are there?
Baron Beefcake, Big Brother Booty, The Booty Man, Brother Brudeye, Brute Force, Brutus Beefcake, The Butcher, The Clip Master, The Disciple, Dizzy Golden, Dizzy Hogan, Ed Boulder, Eddie Golden, Eddie Hogan, The Mariner, The Man with No Face, The Man with No Name, The Zodiac.
I don't even know half these gimmicks.
It's probably ones that he had to go with on the indies because he couldn't like use
the WCW or WWE trademarks.
Yeah. Yeah, because Hulk Hogan was Terry Boulder, and then Dizzy Hogan. Oh, my God. Brother Brudeye. Let's go, man. Let's absolutely go. But
how long did it take before you to realize that Beefcake was the Disciple?
Oh, it took me. I didn't realize. Honestly, I don't think I realized it until Network came out, until like 2014.
When they did like documentary on the rise and fall of the NWO? No,
not even that. But like, I think I was just because like, I think I was like, oh, let's go back and just watch some old WCW. Then I was like, who was the Disciple? And it's like, holy shit, that's Brutus Beefcake.
The beard threw me off, man.
Well, they talk about it on Dark Side of the Ring. He changed his entire appearance.
Oh, yeah.
Changed his entire fucking appearance. But yeah, man, I think that... I think that's a good way to close out. Just talking about Brother Brudeye. Just always talking about Brother Brudeye. That's what I'll always refer to him as. He's not Brutus the Barber Beefcake to me. He's Brother Brudeye. But hell of a good talk, man.
Dizzy Hogan's my new go-to.
Dizzy Hogan. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit more about gimmicks in paid show. You're going to find out what this meme was that I laughed really hard at. On paid show.
And here a gimmick card.
Yeah, we're going to talk about like if we had to book the best gimmicks of all time or the worst gimmicks of all time. See, here's the thing. When it comes to Mad Bash, best and worst is the exact same thing.
Absolutely.
Exact same thing. So, hey, here's the thing, guys. MadBashStudios.com. There you're going to get links to everything that you need to know about Mad Bash Wrestling. Check us out on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, every single social media platform. I went to say thing and social at the same time, and it turned into thothel.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely, you do. You can find me on Instagram at DW_mischievousrabbit. Guys, go to the Patreon and watch Ascend the Throne. I promise you are not going to be disappointed. It's a hell of a wrestling show. So, with that being said, I've been Dickie Wabash. That man over there is Michael Madrox. Those of you on the Patreon, we'll see you on Paidski.